about.
How are my little crackers today?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean. I just want to say that I don't know. You guys rock. And I love you guys. Not in a gay way.
Beep. Excuse me, but I do believe that sucked ass.
Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight.
Why?
Okay? Because if you get alcohol tonight, you're fired from your show tomorrow. And the doctor is coming over here in the morning to check your alcohol level. And if you have any alcohol in your system, you're going to be fired from the show. Tomorrow. You hear me? No alcohol.
And now.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. Today is Wednesday. It is the 15th of July. Like it in the same room as your ass?
But I don't go in for these backdoor shenanigans.
Can't get too close to the ass. You can just be in the same room.
That's it. Yeah, that's where you got to draw the line.
Very strictly tried to interpret the paperwork that's handed down by the attorneys to make sure that we still going to have the ass in the photograph, but it just can't be in action.
Exactly.
Can't be in play. Hey, where's Blondie?
I don't know.
Having a blonde moment.
Usually when we're in this situation, we either get a phone call from him or a warning from someone out in the other room, but he just hasn't showed up.
There was a closure on the South 405 at the 10, but that was cleared before I got to work, so I'm thinking that's not the problem. I'm thinking.
But Kevin doesn't leave his house till 5:27.
Right. So I guess any delay...
Yeah, but he should have missed that one at least, unless there's something new we don't know about.
Yeah,
him, but
it's possible.
Hey, he's having a rough summer though.
So far,
seems like a little bit.
Yeah,
we're going to take your phone calls on any topic. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to get on the air, you can get a prize this morning with the Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Mike, I know you're very busy at night, but you get a chance to watch the All-Star game last night?
Not really.
Super fun.
It seemed like it. Well, you know, from the highlights and stuff that I saw this morning and listening to it on the radio, you know, the highlights, it seemed like it was, you know, action-packed.
Yeah, it was really – I mean, it's such a great all-star sport because they really do get the best players and it seems like a lot of them really bring it for that game for whatever reason. The people you want to see hit. The people you want to see pitch great. I mean, it really is an all-star performance, but really, really fun.
Even before they initiated this rule where the winning team gets to have home field advantage for the World Series, it seemed like the baseball World Series All-Star game was the only game of all the leagues that was really taken seriously, because the Pro Bowl is farcical in the NFL, and you know, the basketball games turned into just a slam dunk contest,
showboating, right? Exactly,
and they don't really take it too seriously in the NHL. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a purist kind of fawning for tradition or whatever it is, but they've always seemed to kind of take it a little bit more seriously than the other sports.
It was great though. It was really fun. The American League has won. Well, out of 13 years in a row, they won 12 and tied one, Lisa.
So, no kidding.
And you get the home, you know, the home field advantage in the World Series too, which is which is significant, which is a pretty
big
deal.
Maybe that's why they take it so seriously.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure it is. Now, look who just walked in. Our plan was just to talk baseball until you got here, Kevin.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to talk about the All-Star game, so I tried to miss it.
Oh, I see.
Are you still talking about it?
Well, we're wrapping it up.
Okay.
We're wrapping up.
Can I step out?
No, we're almost done. You just stay here.
All right.
Just stay here.
And that Mariano Rivera is the most fun pitcher to watch, too.
Isn't he, Mike? He tells jokes. He does impressions, funny faces.
The guy is just incredible, though. For the Yankees, I mean, he got his fourth All-Star save last night. He just comes in and he just obliterates the players. I mean, you've never seen someone more masterful at picking the exact part of the plate he wants to throw.
He's
the
like
ball
the
to.
Jim Carrey of baseball. You know,
the only
no, he's
thing
good.
I know is that our president had a good time last night. He threw out the pitch.
Oh,
and
did he?
I guess they rush in Bean. That's kind of how I heard it, to make sure it didn't hit the ground. Like, you did pretty good, but...
Okay, there was almost a conspiracy. I was ready to come in here shooting flames today because I saw something last night in the ceremonial first pitch at the All-Star Game that I've never seen before, and that is that they didn't show the ball crossing the plate.
What?
Fox filmed it. They showed the president throwing the ball, and then they showed his reaction and then walking toward Albert Pujols, who caught the ball for him, and they're all hugging and smiling and everything like that, but they didn't show where the ball went, and I thought... I've been watching baseball a long time. I don't know that I've ever seen that angle where they intentionally don't show the ball crossing the plate. And I thought, what the heck is going on? Well, a few innings later, the president is sitting in with the broadcast team at the game, and they showed a replay from the correct angle, which is the angle where you can see the catcher.
Right.
And he made it to the plate. I won't say he crossed the plate, and Pujols did him a little bit of a favor by moving forward a little bit and kind of scooping it up, you know, in his glove before it would have hit the ground.
Okay.
So it didn't bounce or anything like that. But, yeah, he was having a fantastic time last night. And he got, of course, he drew controversy because he wore his White Sox jacket. And traditionally, you wear the home jacket when you show up. But he says, look, I'm a White Sox fan. I grew up being a White Sox fan. I'll always be a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
So I'm representing my team. But, yeah, he sat in for a whole half inning with Buck and McCarver and just was just yapping, just having the time of his life.
Good. Well, I did hear the court. He's like, this is the best time I've had in a really long time, which I can imagine.
It's a good thing he doesn't have anything to do at work.
He does seem like the kind of president, though, who really enjoys the perks of the job,
like
the fun stuff that you get to do, which is the only reason to be president. The other stuff is BS. But being able to go everywhere, do everything, and meet everybody, that's what's cool.
You fly into a town, they close all the freeways, so you can just drive right wherever you're going. That's nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, it was good times. But they're not going to be signing him up to play for anybody anytime soon, that's for sure.
Unless it's a minor league team, maybe. You know, pitcher's mound isn't quite as far away. Then it'll be fine. I threw the first pitch, and the catcher didn't even move. Remember that?
Yes.
I was afraid I was going to throw it too hard.
Yeah. So he pulled back.
And injured him. So I pulled back, and it didn't quite make it all the way. And he just looked at it as it went by him. It didn't do me any favors. And the cameras didn't cut that out.
That's right.
All right. Let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of passes for you to Universal Studios Hollywood? You know, it's the entertainment capital of Los Angeles. That's a pretty good night's entertainment right there just for a phone call. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we just extend baseball talk for 30 more seconds?
Yes!
And bring line 7 into the mix here. I don't have a name, but he is calling about a rumor that's swirling around the MLB.
Hey, caller X.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's your name?
What it do?
Alex.
Alex, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, what it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Hey, so I read an article in the LA Times, and there's rumor talks about trading Russell Martin on the Dodgers for Roy Halladay, the pitcher from the Blue Jays.
What do you know about that, Mike?
All I know of it is that it is rumors. It's been talked about for about a week now. I haven't heard any information come out of the Dodger camp, you know?
It seems like every time the Dodgers get a good catcher, though, they just give him up for some pitcher that gets injured or
they seem to be doing pretty well this year.
I know. So if they're doing so well, you know, why change it?
All right.
I mean, they had Mike Piazza, and they gave him up. And then Paul LaDuca was doing so well, and then gave him up. And now Russell Martin, one of, like, the best young catchers in the game, they're just going to give him up again.
Well, I think if you get a chance to get Halladay, you pretty much train anyone you can to get him.
I agree in
he's
the sense,
a double Cy Young winner and is, you know, phenomenal.
I agree in a sense that, you know, pitching wins ball games, and like being said, Roy Halladay is amazing.
But if you don't have a catcher, the ball goes to the backstop every single time.
They got another dude. They got another guy.
But you don't want to mess with the chemistry of a team like Kevin said that's doing so well. And yes, you're going to get a better player. You're going to get an ace in your pitching rotation. But this Dodger clubhouse seems to be really having a good time. Everybody seems to be getting along. And I don't know if you want to mess with that.
Yeah, it's a tough call. Thank you for the call, though. Let's try Philip. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Philip, thanks for calling in. What'd it do?
What's going on? Hey, man, I've been up for 46 hours straight. I'm driving home on the freeway doing about 70, and I'm kind of swerving. I just want to know what's a good way to stay awake.
46 hours? Have you been working that whole time?
Not really. I've been kind of doing some random stuff off the mom, running some errands, but...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No one on this planet stays up 46 hours in a row just running some random things, just going out and doing some stuff. Were you partying?
Nah. I've just been working the night shift last night, and I couldn't sleep because I had to go run some errands, and I couldn't sleep because it's damn hot, so...
I see.
All right, well, there's a bunch of stuff you can do. I mean, I'm sure you've already tried caffeine and you're past that. You got the windows rolled down in the car?
I've tried that. Yeah. I've had the radio all the way blasting up.
Got to have the radio up. You got to have your pants around your ankles.
None of that crap's working for me, but I heard from a friend of mine that he worked for him. He turned the heater all the way up and he farted in his car, and I guess the smell just kind of kept him awake.
Wow. Well, let us know how that goes. Let us know how that goes.
You know, as dumb as this sounds, here's something that I've tried in the past that, I mean, if you think about it, it does work, and that's chew gum. Because that way you're doing something.
Really?
You're consciously doing something. Yeah.
You know, the only one I get in
that's what passes for activity in Bean's life.
Well, I'm saying you can't fall asleep if you're making that motion, is what I'm saying. As you continue to do that.
I don't think that's true, because when I get into that weird zone where you're like hypnotized on the road, nothing. Yeah.
Jab yourself with knives. It doesn't make any difference.
I have to get off the freeway and just close my eyes for 10 minutes even.
Philip Lisa says that she has to get off when she has that problem. So
I say get off.
I need to work on that. Thank you for the call.
Hey, the next time Lisa's sleeping in her car by the side of the road, how about a heads up, man? Let us know about that.
Let's go to George. Hi, George.
What I do, nephew? Good morning, my friends. This is for you guys. Good morning. My question is for basically Psycho.
George is doing his own show.
What's happening? He's got sound effects.
It's me and my rooster.
Hi.
Uh-oh.
I think I know what that means.
Yeah. My question basically is for Psycho Mike. Shouldn't there be like a cutoff day, like some kind of etiquette for these Lakers fans that still have the Lakers flags on? Because I'm the biggest Lakers fan there is. I love the Lakers. But after a while, the Lakers flags, these guys that have them on, they're like all dirty and stuff. And I'm like, all right, dudes, we get it.
So a certain cutoff date, like a month after the season or whatever, they should take them down?
Yeah.
Now, is it only for flags you have a problem? If you saw a guy in a Lakers t-shirt today, would it bother you?
No, t-shirts are fine.
T-shirts every day of the year are fine.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to figure out what his problem is, if it's out of season.
People that have Christmas lights on their houses still. Yeah, we got you. Take them down.
But especially after a season like the one they just had. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not fans of the big Laker flags anyway. But I'm thinking of getting one now. I'm thinking just now of starting. It's just like, it's not really, and no one else is doing that. So I'm going to get a brand new one. Yeah. That's how I'm going to do it.
You're so contrary.
Yep. And then when the season starts, taking it right down.
So. All right. Thanks for the call. We're out of time for any more. By the way, I think Ryan is calling with the same thing. I said gum. He does sunflower seeds for the same reason, just to kind of keep your mouth in motion, keeps you awake. At least some people. Lisa.
You know, sorry.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth in motion. Today's Harry Potter Day.
Yes, it is.
Movie starts tonight. We were talking yesterday after the show to Lisa, and she's just a little hazy on where we are exactly in the story.
Well, how long has it been since the last movie? It's been a long time,
right?
Two years since the last movie. Understandably.
And I read all the books, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, it turns out there is.
I get confused. I know there was like a Quidditch match.
So we're going to try and
that.
That's great. Well, you know everything.
That's a start.
So we're going to try and catch her up today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
We're going to tell you about the strangest new thing called bagel heads. It's really, how would you describe it, Bean?
It looks like somebody's got a bagel under the skin of their forehead. It's a surgical thing that's implanted, right?
And it's on purpose. They want to look that way.
It's a fad.
It's a fad.
It's a new body art thing, like people do with, you know, other people put metal jewelry under their skin so that it sticks out and makes it look like they've got a spine on the outside of their body or something. It's just weird stuff that people do.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
It is freaky.
We're also going to talk to the guy behind whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com.
He's awesome.
He's great. He's very funny.
Yeah.
Going to talk to him today. We'll check in with Harrison Ford and find out how he celebrated his 67th birthday. I put in quotes.
I bet that party was raging.
It's 107 if he's a day. We have a listener who's very upset. She's a waitress, and she's got a lot of complaints, and I don't blame her. That's one of those jobs that I look at and go, no way would I last one day being a waiter.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
I think it's an awful job.
Because you have to put up with so much BS. So we're going to talk to her. And if you haven't heard, there is a new celebrity Michael Jackson tribute album. And by celebrity, I mean some of the biggest names in music.
Oh, no kidding.
So we'll give you some highlights of that coming up in about 15 minutes. And we got the Road Trip USA, stop number one, Kings of Leon in Nashville. Your chance to qualify for that is coming up as well. And Ralph's Showbiz Beat is next.
If Ralph Garman were to walk into the room here in the Kevin and Bean Show, what would he be talking about, I wonder?
I can tell you what he wouldn't be talking about.
What's that?
Baseball.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Not too late to get in on it.
Can tell you that wouldn't be happening.
Not too late to join the conversation there, Ralph.
Is it early enough to walk away from it?
Not big baseball fans.
I know, you're missing out.
I know. Listen.
You might as well not like chocolate ice cream.
I wish I liked it. Because hockey's already over, which I love. Yeah. The NBA's already over, which I love. And football hasn't started yet,
Kevin,
which I love.
I have nothing to watch this this time of year. Mm. It's horrible.
So I wish I liked it, but I don't mind going, but I don't like to watch on TV.
You're going for the beer and the hot dogs and whatnot. You're not going for whatever they're
and
doing
gambling.
Down there.
We gamble a lot when we go to a baseball game.
Oh, sure.
A lot. No, we do. Like, it's like in between innings, if the catcher
fall asleep first?
If the catcher throws the ball out to the pitcher's mound, we bet on whether it's going to stay someplace in the dirt of the pitcher's mound or roll off onto the grass. We have to find 100 different things to bet on to keep ourselves interested.
Well, you might have a new sport. I might be interested in playing that game. Let's talk about Johnny Depp, shall we? One of the most successful in-demand actors on the planet Earth right now. But, of course, Johnny says it's hard being Johnny Depp. His dream, he says, would to walk around Disneyland with his kids completely unnoticed. That's his dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. My dream is to make millions of dollars per motion picture and have any choice of any script I want in Hollywood.
And then have
I'll trade you, Johnny.
And then have somebody from Disneyland guide me around, go to the front of the line.
As you can imagine, because he is Captain Jack Sparrow, he says things get a little weird when he tries to play dad at the happiest place on Earth.
I guess so. That makes even more sense. Yeah.
But how hard would it be for him to put on a little disguise, as so many others had before him?
He tried that. He put on a big pirate hat and like long, straggly beard and pantaloons, like a leather vest.
That was
didn't
movie,
help.
Rough.
Didn't help at all.
Still figured out it was him?
They still figured out it was him. It was very strange. Poor Elizabeth Taylor. She, of course, was a longtime best friend of Michael Jackson. She was sent into the hospital on Monday, suffering extreme emotional exhaustion since his death. Friends of the former movie star say that she hasn't stopped crying for nearly 2 weeks since his death. And is pretty much a wreck.
Oh my.
It strikes me that a lot of people who were close to Michael are deeply affected by this death. None of which seem to be his family, however.
True.
Apparently Diana Ross is a wreck, and Elizabeth Taylor is a wreck, and the people who were his friends. But even I noticed the clips I saw of the memorial, which I didn't watch. They all seemed like they were just, you know, kind of putting on a show of sort of some sort of sadness, but no one really seemed wrecked by it.
Yeah, it was weird. That family seems like it was so dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Hey, Jermaine was out there performing at the memorial service. Right. That's how unaffected he was.
And the other ones were doing interviews and stuff, and it just seemed odd to me that the family wasn't
just
more,
another Jackson production?
Because this wasn't, a long lingering illness or something. This was a sudden, shocking, at least to most of us, death. You'd think it would be, they would just be sitting there watching. They wouldn't be up on stage singing and dancing. What do you know? Speaking of death, Jeff Goldblum says the story that went around about his death on the internet was one of the greatest things ever happened to him. He says he has reconnected with a lot of old friends since the story broke. Because a lot of them tried to find him when they found out that he died on the internet.
That's funny.
He said he's reconnected with a lot of people. I'm not angry about the odd situation at all, he said, but I'm kind of touched about how the outpouring of people's concern when they heard I had passed away.
Did you see Stephen Colbert?
Yeah, that was great.
He came out on
came
on
out and did his own eulogy. Jeff Goldblum was a generous lover.
That's what Jeff was saying about himself. It was very funny.
It was very, very funny. Kate Gosselin, star of John and Kate plus 8-1. says, she doesn't say it, but they say that she is aware that her status as a TV star may be on the outs. So word is she's grooming her twin girls, Maddie and Kara, to become the next Olsen twins.
Oh, great.
Start with some videos of them and some clothing lines and whatnot and tried to thrust them into the public eye.
Great. What could go wrong with that?
You know, that's being a mom right there.
She's a whore, okay?
Making sure your kids are well taken care of out there in the public eye. Courtney Love is suffering from malnutrition. Apparently, her doctor has told her she needs to start eating.
Never understood that one. Just that seems like the easiest fix.
You live in this country, and
yeah,
you
it's
got
hard
money.
To be malnourished in America.
Right?
It really is.
It's hard. It's really hard not to be overnourished. I
yes.
mean, to get fat.
How yes. did, she's just not eating.
Okay, so easy fix. Eat.
But there's a reason behind her not eating. There must be, right?
She's crazy.
Well, sure. That's what I'm saying. So that's not an easy fix when you're crazy.
Yeah.
We could fix crazy. Bean would be a lot happier.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I can hear you. What? And this is bad news. You know that film, Ice Cube's film, Are We There Yet?
Yeah.
Well, they're turning it into a sitcom.
Yes. Is it starring Ice Cube?
Did
no.
they just drive and drive and drive
I guess
and drive?
So, yeah.
Never there.
Things shot inside a car. Apparently, Ice Cube will be producing, but he will not be starring. In
oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
And another in a long list of bad ideas for movies. 20th Century Fox has announced Avon Man.
He goes door to door with cosmetics?
What did they really announce?
Avon Man.
I know, but really.
It's not as lame as you think. It's not like a superhero with powers of Avon. But it's about a man who loses his job and is forced to take a job as an Avon salesman, see?
Ah.
And he has to go around trying to sell cosmetics to women, but he's a guy, and they're mostly women who do that job.
No! No!
Hugh Jackman apparently has signed on to play the Avon Man. From Wolverine to Avon Man.
I was thinking how tough it would be. I mean, I don't know if they still go door-to-door with Avon, but it would be tough for a guy to have a woman invite him in to show the line. Unless you're Hugh Jackman. Now,
right.
you're not going to have that much trouble.
I think they do it in, like, parties now, don't they? Like Tupperware, where they get to...
I don't know.
Bunch of broads together and they try on foundation.
Yeah, maybe.
But Pete, I don't think Hugh Jackman is really going door to door in reality. So people are going, "Hey, that's Hugh Jackman."
I think he's saying in the movie.
In the movie, that would be
it would be plausible. Yeah. It might be a lot more plausible for a woman to invite Hugh Jackman in to take a look at his display case
because he's a stud or whatever
than the average
housewife.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I can see that.
I'm thinking Pete's picturing himself letting him in.
Lisa, you would let Hugh Jackman in if he knocked at the door with a suitcase. I mean, come on.
Maybe that's it. He gets kidnapped.
If they're clever at all, they will make that an aspect of the story where he starts banging everybody. Now, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to see my eyeliner? I don't know what that means. But.
My mascara wand.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Terry O'Quinn. Lost.
He's lost?
John Locke.
Oh.
On Lost, 57 years
best.
Old.
He is
so good.
He is great.
X-Files, he was great. Millennium, he was great. Yeah. He's been all the Chris
Alias,
Carter
West
shows,
Wing.
Alias, yeah, that's right.
Long, long resume. He was The Stepfather. You ever see that creepy movie, The Stepfather?
No, I don't think so.
Horror movie about a stepfather.
That's bad and scary.
It's gone bad?
No.
Willie Ames from Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge. 49 years old today.
doubted his own enthusiasm after about a second.
It waned quickly.
Sounds like Eli Manning in the background.
Now, he's not Bible man, is he?
Yes, he was Bible
Willie
man.
Ames.
Yes,
yeah.
Willie Ames was Bible man. Forrest Whitaker is 48 years old today. Actress Brigitte Nielsen is 46. Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210, who will forever be known as the man who let Megan Fox get away. That will haunt him forever.
Yeah.
People say, dude, didn't you used to?
Yes, I did. Stop asking.
Sucker. He is 36 years old today, and guitarist Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming to me, listener Rebecca writes, "Hey, all love the show, been a longtime listener. I was just listening to Adam Carolla's Rage, This Week in Rage, which he does on Fridays, and it brought an idea to mind. You guys should do an angry waitress segment, maybe once a week. Have an ex or current waitress come on the show and go off about all the things that they run into with other people. And I got to tell you, every single time I go out to eat, I look at those people and I go, wow. You're amazing that you have this kind of patience.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
Because I know if I tried to do that job, I would be fired on the first day. Just because people seem to be angry or frustrating or they won't give you their order or they want to change it too many times and I would mouth off and I'd be gone.
Yeah.
No way could I do that.
Lisa, when we got the email from Rebecca, we brought it up off the air and you mentioned that you have waitressed a couple of times in your life.
Oh, my God.
Did you hate it?
I hated it. First, I wasn't good at it. It beyond the fact that you need to be patient and nice with people, mm-hmm. it actually takes an incredible amount of organization to be managing five or six tables at a time and right. do it well, which I didn't. Mm-hmm. So,
you're bad at it to begin with.
I wasn't good at it to begin with. I didn't like it. I had, you know, like you said, you'd have a table of eight with everyone wanting to change everything right. on the order, and nothing was ever right. It was horrible, and I swore I wouldn't do it again, and then I had to do it again
nice.
Later because it's instant money, and there are just times when you are in that position where you need to start making money right away.
See, maybe I could be a waiter in New York, because we were in New York eating one time, and Jimmy Kimmel was with us, and he tried to get his bagel toasted.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered it that way specifically, and she brought it out to him. It wasn't toasted. He said, hey, I'm sorry. He was very nice. I'm sorry. I wanted to get that toast. And she interrupted and said, just eat the sandwich. Now, I could be a waiter
that.
There. That I could do. But not most places where they actually require niceness.
Well, I think Rebecca is on to something. I think there needs to be a forum for servers to get it out of their system before they, you know, before they go postal at work next time. So let's bring Rebecca onto the show right now and thank her for the email and thank her for joining us on the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Rebecca.
Now, are you still a waitress?
No, thank God.
All right. Good.
Now, you mentioned in your email that you used to be a waitress at Denny's. Is that true?
Oh, my God.
I hope you worked the late shift. I hope you worked the late shift with all the drunks.
Oh, yes, I did. I worked the graveyard shift from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
So when the bars close.
The worst on every level.
So when the bars close in whatever town you're in, everyone goes to Denny's.
Everyone goes, especially since I was waitressing in a little town on the Central Coast, so there was nothing to do past 9 o'clock.
Right.
To the bars.
Yep.
Yeah. Your place was Hangout Central. All right. So what kinds of things happened that scarred you to the point where years later, you're still sending off furious emails about waitressing?
It was everybody who used to work the graveyard shift. Me and the girls who used to work that shift are still such close friends because you have to be.
Yeah.
It's like the bond of
people
warriors.
War.
Yeah. It's the brotherhood of waitresses.
They're just all kinds of people. We had fights actually in the restaurant, like guys rolling around on the floor, knocking over tables and chairs.
That's good times.
Never saw that.
Well, that's because you don't work Denny's after hours when all the drunks show up.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, what kinds of, I mean, obviously those are exceptions when something like that breaks out. But I mean, I love Denny's. I'm the guy on the show who goes to Denny's a couple times a week if I can. And, I know what I want and I'm polite to the server and I leave a good tip and I don't give them any trouble. I've never had any trouble in a Denny's. What kinds of stuff were your customers doing?
Well, we had actually married women who were getting caught cheating in the restaurant.
Oh, good.
Getting
caught by who? The spouse?
Yeah, their husbands.
How about that?
Oh, my God. Well, where else are you going
to
go?
You couldn't go to another Denny's to have an affair? Really? That's what he's yelling at her. Really? This is it? We're going to take calls, by the way. We'll get back to Rebecca in just 1 second. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you are or have been a waitress or waiter. And the stories of how wonderful it is to deal with the general public.
I will tell you, I had this one experience where I worked in a restaurant where they had these really, really heavy ribs. And like a whole table ordered the ribs. And I, you know, they weigh like a ton. So I'm coming out with all these freaking ribs. And they're cold.
The ribs are cold.
So I bring all the ribs back in.
Yeah.
They heat them. I bring them back out. Not good enough. Bring them all back in. Bring them out. Third time, I just burst into tears in the middle of the
nice. Track. You started crying. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
The manager's like, all right, you got to come with
that
me.
That is good.
It's just awful.
But, Rebecca, at least at Denny's, if there's one thing I've learned, it's you just take what they serve. You don't complain about the food at Denny's because you got no business going to a Denny's if you're expecting fine cuisine.
Well, yeah, the menu is pretty straightforward, but on the graveyard shift, since people are drunk, or I should say stoned,
yeah, sure.
You get a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, this side of them just comes out, and you get so frustrated because they'll order the French toast. You bring out the French toast, and they think they ordered a burger or something, so they get loud with you, they get mean with you, they want to take it back, and actually, the Denny's graveyard shift is different because you can't actually be rude to some of the people if you're that frustrated and they're drunk and they think it's funny.
Oh, awesome.
So
well, that's good.
We did get to let out some anger.
Now, did you ever work the non-overnight shift, or is that your thing?
No, since the day I started at Denny's, I was working the graveyard shift.
Yeah, well.
I have to admit, my first week, I was shocked. I really wanted to quit.
Sure.
But it is easy money, and... Right.
But it's not just the late night people who are drunk or high. I mean, it's also the people who, yeah, we're ready to order, and then they don't know, and then they ask 700 questions, and then they ask how the food is prepared, and then they ask what else comes with it, and then they change their mind. That kind of stuff would drive me out of my mind.
I've often
just
wondered.
Just pick something. I'll be back in a minute.
if you work in a really high end restaurant, if it's great, if it's
well,
great
I was going
to
ask.
There.
I was going to ask Psycho Mike because his wife Jenny works in a real high end sushi place, and she likes her job.
I know that.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the money's great at a place like that.
Right.
She loves it. Who's with me?
He's not here. He walked out.
Mike, you look like you've gained weight. Rebecca, before we let you go, how'd you finally get out of waitressing? What happened?
Well, actually, I didn't exactly get out of it right away. A customer of mine who was drunk when he made me this offer.
Proposed?
He was actually opening up his own sushi bar, and he wanted me to help him to manage it.
Right.
Like an assistant manager, head waitressing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a little while, but
then
I find that...
Did he have a meeting at home that night afterwards? Did he say, you got to meet me at my house, and we'll go over the plan?
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
No, I waited until the next day, and I went to the address he gave me, which was the new restaurant, and he was telling the truth.
How about that?
So I went ahead and said yes, but the sake starts flowing, and those people are just as bad as the Denny's people.
Oh, I don't think the restaurant matters. I just think people are so inconsiderate.
That may be true.
Maybe it does in that the overnight shift is worse because that's where people go to eat. But other than that, being a waiter or waitress just has to blow.
It does very much. I do not recommend it for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
If you're sensitive, if you're hurt easily, you have to have really thick skin to do that.
Yeah.
Well, Rebecca, we're glad you emailed us. It's a great topic. We're opening up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a waiter or waitress or have been and have stories to share, we want to hear from you. Rebecca, thanks a lot for contacting the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll take your calls next.
Kevin, I mean, listener, Rebecca is a former waitress who says, man, you don't know how bad we have it when we're the ones serving you your food. And she thought it might be interesting to hear stories from other people in the same predicament. And we agree. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you've got stories to share with what it's like in that occupation, why don't we start with Alex? He's on line 7 on the Kevin Bean Show. Former waiter or waitress. Hey, Alex, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, good morning. It's actually a waiter.
Waiter, yeah.
Okay. Hello, Lisa May. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just tell you... I worked at an Outback restaurant over here. I think the Heights went to Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And then working there for about a year, never had anyone walk out of me. And I get, least expected people. You think sometimes it'd be teenagers or maybe people are drunk, I've done it myself.
You've done it yourself. Where you order the food, you eat the food, then you run before you pay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, pretty dirtbaggish, but I've done it. And this
well, then you deserve to have it happen to you.
I probably did. I didn't mind it so much. The more high-end I didn't like is my boss. Usually get to deal with, I don't know if you will be talking about this, but managers, man. They're restaurant managers. I don't know if anyone's been, but they suck.
Yeah,
they
we don't know that angle of it. We were just talking about dealing with the public. But so a guy ran out on you?
Yeah, well, this guy ran out on me, and then he comes up with this 7-year-old little girl. He's expected maybe middle-aged or so, very nice, very polite. And then I come in out, and he's running with his little girl. He picks up his little girl in the parking lot because he's running so slow and runs out.
He's physically running fast. That's awesome.
Well, when we were talking with Rebecca about the stuff that she saw as a waitress, it didn't even occur to me that, that's also on you. Don't most places, if the customer walks out, it's on you? You suck it up?
Meaning pay for it?
I don't know if you...
Alex, did you have to pay for it?
Yeah. No, that's what I was telling my boss. Tried to make me pay for it. He thought I was lying.
Oh,
I'm like,
I see.
Gonna pocket, and I'm just like, no, man. We got in a big old argument. I was like, I ain't paying for it. And at the end, I don't know, maybe you made others pay for it. Other times, that's what I heard. But I just told him, I'm not going to end up paying for it. And then, I didn't have to pay for it. But after that, you don't really get the best shifts.
I think it depends on the restaurant, but you are supposed to be keeping an eye on him. That's for sure.
It's kind of
on
you.
I mean, if it happens to you more than a couple of times, I think you're out.
We should go to restaurants and just target one waiter or waitress and then run out every time.
Oh, no.
Like every day.
Let's try Susie on line three of the Kevin DeBeach Show. Yeah, that would be because he or she wouldn't know any of us that we all knew each other.
Right. Like
every day at the same time, somebody goes in, sits at the same table and walks out. She'd be like, what's going on?
Susie, hi.
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 What happened to you, waitress?
Well, I have a couple. I know every server goes through it. You get that table that just thinks it's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, hi, how can I help you? And, you know, they all get beverages, and as you walk away, oh, I need a refill. And you're like, okay, you bring it back, and, you know, it's just one refill, and you're walking away, I finished my juice, you know? And they're like, oh, can I get you anything else? And they're like, oh, no, I'm okay. And then you're serving other people around them, and they're just like, oh, I need this. I need that. And after a while, you're just like, okay, you know.
Right. Why don't you figure out everything you need, write it down on a napkin, and give it to me at some point, and I can do it all at the same time.
You know, yeah, that's a general complaint. But I think the worst for me was, I had this party of, how do you say this, African-American people. And they had this little kid. He was probably like 5 years old, really overweight.
Right.
They're giving him fried chicken. They're giving him spaghetti, and he throws up. He throws up on the mom's food.
Oh, no.
And then the mom's like, girl, you better take this away. I'm like, ma'am, they pay me to serve your food, not to be your maid.
No kidding.
I'm like, I'm not picking that up.
So did you, so you didn't even pick it up?
No, I'm not going to pick that up.
So you made the busboy do it?
No, not even. I gave them a towel.
Oh, you said it may still be there today if you go to that restaurant.
That's the booth that no one wants now. Nobody wants to go there. All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thanks for calling. How can we say it, Susie? Why don't we try Matt on line two on the Kevin DeBeach Show? Hey, Matt. Thanks for calling in. What happened to you?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin DeBeach? How you doing, Lisa May?
Good, Matt.
Hey, pretty much the worst thing about being a server or waiter, whatever you want to call it, is that you got to deal with people who have no idea what they're talking about, especially when it comes to, like, wine and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they say, you know, they want something really nice and oaky and dry, and then they pick, like, you know, something that's full of cherries and fruity. You know, they just have no idea.
So they have no idea what they're doing, but they're acting like they do?
Yeah, no, they come off, you know, they're trying to impress someone. You know, they have a lady or a guy, you know, sure. In L.A., so, you know, someone with them, and they're always trying to impress them. We're trying to think like they know what they're talking about, you know, not ask for recommendations, and then, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. We should do a topic on people who drink wine that think they know more than they do.
I was, I had a carafe of wine on a tray, and I had wine glasses, and I reached over to put the wine glass in front of this old lady, and I dumped the entire carafe of red wine down her back.
Awesome. Oh. That's awesome. And?
Well, I, of course, burst into
tears. Was she happy? You cry. How many times did you cry waitressing?
I pulled her into
every
the
day?
Bathroom to try to wash her off.
She was yelling, stop it, stop it.
It was awful.
Lisa, you were bad at that job.
I was really bad.
What is wrong
with you? Let's try Jacob on line one. We haven't heard any fight stories yet, but it sounds like Jacob may have one for us. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's going on?
Hey, hi, Lisa, man.
Hello, Jacob.
Lisa cried at every table she waitressed. That doesn't seem good.
All right. Well, look, first of all, I was a restaurant manager, and if Lisa May would have cried, I would have fired her after the second day.
Right.
But okay. Those people were mean.
It doesn't matter. You can't cry. There's no crying in waitressing.
There's no crying in waitressing.
Exactly.
All right, Jacob, go ahead.
All right, so second of all, I worked at Mel's Drive-In on West Sunset in West Hollywood graveyard shift.
Oh.
Yeah.
The people you get.
I broke up more fights, saw more blood. I had to break up a fight between a very famous, actually more infamous hip-hop artist and a pimp once.
Who's that?
They're about, I'm sorry?
Who was it?
Yeah, you can say, right?
Suge Knight and a pimp.
No kidding.
Wait a minute. Suge Knight was in your restaurant fighting a pimp, and you stepped in between and said stop?
Me and about four other security guards, and I'm a big guy, but these two dudes were towering over me.
Yeah. Yeah, and, Suge Knight wants to fight in your restaurant. You just go, let him go right on ahead.
You just clear everyone out.
The problem was is they're fighting in my restaurant, which is causing other people to walk out. I was like, look, I don't give crap.
I like that you had to go through four words in your cussing Rolodex to get the one you could use. Okay, so you broke up that fight.
So I broke up that fight, but I mean, there was this, okay, this pimp used to, how do we say,
African-Americans?
How do we say what?
All right, you're killing me. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it.
I would fire you if you were trying to tell stories.
Although I
hang with Jacob anymore.
Dealing with pimps might be a whole nother experience. You know what I mean?
Would that be? Are we going to get calls with this?
Yeah,
one more. Let's take Josh on line five.
How do you not go to Cheryl?
Because I saw Josh's call.
Oh, all right, Josh.
Yeah.
Hi there. What happened?
Well, back when I first started my employment history, I worked at a little mom and pop pizza place, and as far as being a waiter went, everything went all right. I mean, I had a
We don't need everything that went all right. We want to hear the part where it went wrong.
Okay. Well, here's what went wrong. Seemed like
all right. Let's go to Cheryl now. Cheryl on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our final call on waiters and waitresses.
Unfortunately, Josh couldn't get to the point, but somebody ran out, didn't pay the bill, but left a picture of themselves flipping him off.
Oh, man.
How can you not tell that story and make it interesting?
I don't know.
How do you make that not interesting?
Josh fails.
It would have taken a half hour to get to that point. All right, Cheryl, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You were waitressing. What happened to you?
Yes, I was waitressing. It was a Sunday morning. A couple came in. It was like this really overweight white girl wearing like clothes that were way too small.
Excellent.
This really skinny African-American guy and their kid come in.
Right.
And they're sitting at the table grabbing on each other, just a disgusting mess, kissing on each other, hugging on each other. And they're looking at me like giving me the eye like,
yeah,
hey, how you doing? And the guy like literally like licks his lips.
Ew!
Oh! You sure he wasn't just enjoying his food?
I mean, you know, I can't say the restaurant, but it's pretty good food. Who knows?
Do you still work at the restaurant?
No, I do not.
Then you can say the restaurant.
It was Claim Jumper.
All right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it's a fish place.
Yeah. It was a pretty good place. But, you know, it's a Sunday morning. Families are there. And, you know, they proceed to keep doing this. And then finally the guy's just like, so what are you doing later on? And the girl's all giggling. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm off and I'll be going home to my family. And he's like, you want to meet up with us later? And I was like, oh, my God, no, I have a boyfriend. You sure you don't mind? He can join.
So
it was so nasty.
So the ugly couple in front of their kid asks you if you want to be
kid.
If you want to be in a threesome with them.
Yes, their kid was on the opposite side. Just, I mean, it was like super awkward because
the kid
was like 12, 13 years old, being all obnoxious, and they're like hugging on each other, being completely inappropriate. I mean, not just hugging on each other, but like
handling
each other.
How were they in bed?
They were pretty good.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, certainly not when the mic's not on.
It's 6:55.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What the heck is a bagel head? We're going to find out next hour. Plus, he is the funniest guy on the internet, I think. The writer behind What Would Tyler Durden Do? One of our favorite celebrity gossip websites. We'll talk to him in the next half hour, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I don't know about a bagel head, but I know what a bagel bumper is.
Oh. Different.
Really?
Very.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say so.
Very different. I hope.
The show must go on.
Says
the Discovery Channel, Pitchmen, the 12-part series that featured the late Billy Mays and his business partner Anthony Sully Sullivan will be back for a second season, says the network.
Okay.
Because of the success of the first season and as a tribute, they say, to Billy Mays' legacy, the show will go into its second season starring Anthony Sullivan and Billy Mays' son, Billy Mays III.
Hmm.
We'll take over for his dad.
Is he doing the same stuff? Is he doing infomercials?
I reckon so.
He sounds a lot like his dad. He really does. They did quite a bit with him on that tribute special to Billy Mays.
Right.
He really does. He seems to be really interested in the family business, too.
My dad was a great guy!
What's his favorite color?
Bean? Billy Mays III?
I wouldn't have any idea.
Okay. Right. Checking how extensive your knowledge is.
Wanted to see what you got in your dossier. That's all. According to Life and Style magazine, John and Kate plus 8 minus 1 star John Gosselin has proposed to his 22-year-old girlfriend, Haley Glassman.
He's taking his sweet time. But I think that's smart.
He's
He's still married, for starters.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to marry Lisa once you propose. You can have a long engagement. He is just weeks into his estrangement with his wife, Kate, who has, of course, filed for divorce. They're waiting for that to be finalized. But when that happens, then apparently John will marry his 22-year-old party girlfriend, Haley Glassman, who, let's not forget, is the daughter of the plastic surgeon who gave his former wife, Kate, her tummy tuck.
Nice.
That's right.
They really should just move to a trailer park, because that's how they live their life.
Yeah.
Like what's a Jerry Springer episode.
A, what's the rush to get married when you get out of a marriage with that bitch? But B, why not explore a little bit to see if being famous from the television show is going to, you know, is going to work for you first?
You think...
Don't settle down with someone.
Tubby Von Hairplugs is going to do better than a 22-year-old girl, even with a celebrity? That's what you think?
Maybe
this
not.
This one? Yes.
I don't know, though, because at some point you got to go, eight kids. And then they're going to run.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'll never see them again.
Oh, well.
Well, he's going to have to pay for them if he doesn't see them. He's still going to be writing checks. So, anyway, true love prevails. He's been telling everyone that he loves her and she loves him, so why waste time? An insider tells the magazine.
Okay.
Speaking of marriage, congratulations to the Sundance Kid, Robert Redford. And his German girlfriend exchanged vows and got married in Hamburg, Germany on July the 11th. This is Redford's second marriage. Or maybe it's his third. He's 71 years
71.
Old.
71.
His girlfriend is a 51-year-old German artist named Sybil Zagers. And the two got married at St. Catherine Church in Hamburg, Germany, according to the Associated Press. So, congratulations, Bobby.
Isn't it funny that 71 and 51 doesn't sound too bad? But 51 and 31, very different.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Redford, I wish, worked more. One of my favorite actor-directors.
He's great.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to feel compelled to do all that much work anymore.
He's a Sharpay dog, that guy. He's got the wrinkles.
He has spent a lot of time in the sun.
Yes.
He's got skin like a saddlebag, don't get me wrong, but he's still an excellent actor. And apparently Khloe Kardashian was fed up, she says, of being known as the fat, funny one in a family of attractive women. So she has taken up a strict exercise routine and has dropped 20 pounds so she can compete with her sisters Kim and Courtney in the looks department.
Oh, no.
She has done a photo shoot for Life and Style magazine to show off her new figure. And I got to tell you,
no,
it's quite the improvement.
Does she look good?
Okay, but, no. But Kim
now,
is...
Courtney will be known, Khloe will be known as the ugly funny one. And
not the fat funny one.
So she's got that going for her.
Because Kim is beautiful. You don't want to... Try and keep up with her.
Kim is one of the most attractive women going, I think. Well, every time I see her in a bikini, she's just got those curves and that face. And Courtney's also very, very attractive. And then the gene pool got a little shallow.
A little muddy.
Yeah, a little empty there towards the end. Stephen Chow!
Hey!
Had been signed on to play the Green Hornet sidekick Kato in the feature film based on the popular radio and TV character.
Kato Kaelin?
Kato. Just Kato.
All right.
You know the Green Hornet and Kato? Familiar with those guys?
No.
Don't get confused with the Green Hornet with the Green Lantern, which we've been talking about all week.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking
about.
Or
the Green Arrow. Don't get confused with the Green Arrow.
All different screen.
Yeah. The Green Hornet was a very popular radio show back in the 30s and then became a comic book and TV character. And now they're doing a major, big budget, big screen version of that starring Seth Rogen.
I don't even know what that is.
Seth Rogen as the Green Hornet, and he has an Asian sidekick, as always. Right. The character's always had an Asian valet sidekick who knows kung fu and whatnot. Bruce Lee, for example, played him on the TV series.
I got you.
So Stephen Chow, who's also a martial artist actor, had signed on to play Kato, but now has backed out of the project. So now Sony Pictures is looking for a new Kato to stand and fight beside Seth Rogen's character. So
I think it's give it to John Cho like you give everything else to.
It's a given. It's being
Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Ruff, Margaret Cho would be good.
I probably shouldn't ask because I can't imagine what the answer is, but how does the Green Hornet get his powers?
Green Hornet is not a super-powered superhero. Green Hornet is a...
Does he get stung by a hornet that has radioactivity or some BS?
No, but that'd be cool. No, Green Hornet is a magazine and newspaper publishing magnate.
Yeah.
Who fights crime at night, a la Batman, kind of. He's sort of a rich vigilante dude who infiltrates the underworld as the Green Hornet. And
no
his valet like Alfred the Butler.
Right.
You know, Bruce Wayne has Alfred the Butler.
Right.
His Asian valet chauffeur, Kato, is also the Green Hornet's sidekick.
Ah.
Interestingly enough, named Kato, and no one ever puts the two
How
together.
About that? I can't figure that out.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he puts on a mask, and he's got a real cool car called the Black Beauty, kind of like the Batmobile.
Right.
And
but Batman has the suit, which also helps, and he can fly with the suit and all that stuff.
Yes, Green Hornet doesn't have any of that.
Just a green mask.
No. He's got his Green Hornet Stinger.
What's
which
that?
Which is sort of like a gun that is like a taser kind of deal.
Okay.
You know, which is pretty cool.
That's lame. I'm not a fan.
But see, if you were cool and you wanted to fight crime, that's the kind of guy you'd have to be in order to do it in real life, right? So it's actually more realistic than a lot of comic book superheroes.
You would hope you could come up with something better than a green mask, though, wouldn't you?
He's got a cool hat, too.
Well, I didn't know that.
Wow, there's a cool green overcoat.
All right. I mean,
it's got a cool theme song. You know, Fly the Bumblebee?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the Green Hornet theme song.
Mm-hmm.
I like you doing it better, though.
Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 57 years old today. Actor Willie Ames, who is Lost, is 49 years old today. Forrest Whitaker turns 48. Brigitte Nielsen turns 46. Have you seen her since she stopped drinking and smoking and lost a bunch of weight and got some plastic surgery and stuff?
She's good. Hot? Really?
Yeah,
oh, really?
She's good again.
Should I consider a bell for next hour?
Oh, no, that's not going nuts.
Not that good.
Okay. I mean, does she get a bell just for, like...
For improvement?
Hall of Fame bell,
you mean?
Yeah,
like 1986, she was unbelievable.
I don't think we have a...
Diabolical.
A lifetime bell. I don't think we have that ability.
We gave someone else a Hall of Fame bell.
Sophia Loren
or someone, yeah.
Do we have a Hall of Fame bell? It should sound different than the regular bell.
Yeah, we should. We should work on that.
It'd be better.
We should get
so these are older women who used to be hot when they were young.
Right.
But like,
and they're still attractive.
And they're still attractive.
Mildly attractive.
You're really honoring more their body of work than you are their current state of affairs.
Current body.
Well, it raced through my mind when you first said Brigitte Nielsen this morning, but the last time I saw her, she just looked like she was on celebrity rehab. I mean, that's where she looked like she belonged, you know?
Yeah, but she looks good these days.
Okay.
Although, if you ever want to see her in her prime, I guess Red Sonja would be the movie to rent.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. She looks pretty smoking in that. Even Rocky 4 or whatever. Which one was with Drago when she was Drago?
Wasn't she also
was
his
four.
Interest in Cobra?
Yeah, that's right. She was in Cobra, too.
Wow, that movie blew.
Yeah. Brian Austin Green, Beverly Hills 90210, star is 36. And Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance celebrates his 32nd birthday. Ralph Garman will walk the Showbiz Beat.
Yesterday in the Showbiz Beat, Ralph mentioned the birthdays. He always does celebrity birthdays. And he said it was either yesterday or the day before, it was Harrison Ford's birthday. Said he was
Harrison Ford, one of the great iconic actors of all time, from the Indiana Jones movies, the Star Wars movies, to just dozens of movies.
Said he was 67.
Yes.
To me, that struck me as he's got to be 77 if he's a day, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like he's been 67 for about 10 years?
Yeah, and he's not a young 67.
No.
And I think he got started in show business. I don't even think he started acting until fairly late in life as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. He was a carpenter. Remember that?
So he's not 67, first of all. But we do have him on the phone, so maybe we can ask him if that is his actual age and how he celebrated his birthday.
Harrison? Harrison Ford?
Well, I hear 50 Cent in the background. Are you having a party?
Yeah, we're still partying from the birth.
You're still partying from your birthday? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It's sort of hard to hear you, Mr. Ford. If you could speak up a little bit, that would be doing us all a great service.
Just right in.
Okay, is that better?
Not much, but just right into the phone. Just speak right into the phone.
Yeah,
okay.
Talking right into the phone.
When did your birthday party start?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Can't tell.
Kevin was surprised to hear that you are 67. Is that an accurate number? Does the press have that right, or are you actually much older?
No, that's correct. I'm 67 years old.
I can hear
getting any of this.
I can hear 50 Cent more than I can hear him, and he's on the phone. Are you 67? All right. If you're 67, press 1 on your keypad. No, see? Okay. So he's not 67, clearly.
I don't have a keypad.
Okay. You're calling from a dial phone, are you?
Yeah.
Mr. Ford, what goes on at your party? Do you have a lot of your, obviously, your fiancée, Calista Flockhart, she was there. Who else came to the party?
We had a lot of celebrity types.
A lot of celebrities like...
Who? Who did you say? I couldn't hear... Are you guys getting any names at all?
No. I think he said Famke Janssen, but I'm not sure.
Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment, was that your birthday party?
Harrison, you have to speak louder. We can't hear you.
I don't want to drown out the music.
You're not drowning out the music. The music is drowning you out.
He doesn't want to disrupt the party for everybody else who's enjoying dancing right now. Well, we're not asking you to scream. We just want you to speak at a conversational volume. That's all.
Okay. So, did you not go to bed the last two nights? Have you been up the whole time?
Yeah, I've been partying for 2 days, and they're kind of all it, and you know, all over the place.
I can't make out.
All right, new topic, Harrison, and that is in the wake of that terrible week where we lost Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, it seemed like the internet every day killed off another celebrity. For a minute there, Jeff Goldblum was dead, and then all the sites started reporting that you were dead. Did you ever hear the rumor that you had passed away?
Yes, I heard the rumor.
Is it true? Man, it's just, I can't.
You said you heard the rumor, and then what?
I can't. What was that?
Noisemaker.
Oh, one of those spinning noisemakers?
Shia LaBeouf playing
on
the noise.
Shia LaBeouf. Okay.
Shia LaBeouf's at the front.
All right, one of the celebrities. Okay.
All right, so.
Wait, I heard a whip. Was that a whip?
Yeah.
And is that the Indiana Jones whip?
No, it's Callista's whip.
Oh,
Callista.
She has one? Yeah. Okay. Sorry we heard that one.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We may need to ask Psycho Mike to leave the room. He's entirely too excited about this next interview. I got to be honest.
He is his hero.
Psycho Mike's dream is that he will one day be famous enough that when he dies in some tragic gay sex accident, the website What Would Tyler Durden Do will write something snarky about his death. That's what his goal is in death, is to be famous enough to be on that site, because his man crush is on the phone. Brendan, the genius behind WhatWouldTylerDurdenDo.com, joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Brendan, good to talk to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Very well, thank you. We're great. You know, it's so funny. We reference your website a lot. We're all big fans of it. And every single time we mention it on the air, we then have to spend the next 15 minutes explaining to people what the website was that we just said. People can never quite correctly figure out what the name of the site is when we say it for some reason.
Oh, yeah. It's a horrific name. And it seemed cute, you know, 5 years ago when people still knew
who
Tyler Durden was.
From Fight Club, yeah.
Yeah, but now, you know, when I get emails that say, Dear Tyler, I die.
Yeah.
And it's
WWTDD.com.
Right.
So the first letters of all those words, .com. And here's the thing. I used to always go to all of these sites and look at the pictures, because they all have pictures.
Right.
But then Mike and Bean started talking about how funny the writing was on this site. And that's when I started looking at the writing, and it really is funny. You really mock people hard.
Thank you, man. I do appreciate that. Especially since I assume most of the readers are just stoned 14-year-olds.
By the way, that's true.
And us.
And us, yeah. It has to be a little, I mean, I'm so envious, Brendan, because you have the dream life, which is to sit at home and basically, my guess is your day is sifting through whatever pictures you find on the internet of hot and topless women, posting them on your blog and writing about them. I mean, that's your job, man.
Yeah, it is. I wake up, I walk 10 feet, I sit back down, and I pretty much don't move for the next 8 hours. And like you said, you know, it's just, it's all hot pictures. And, you know, I'd like to point out, Tyler gets around 50 million page views a month. And
50 million a month?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're not motivated enough to work at night or on the weekends, right, Brendan?
Oh, God, no.
Because I would think the only downside to your life is the pressure of, okay, now I've got 50 million page views. People are going to be coming in looking for something new. However, Brendan, it's 4:30. That's time to knock off for the day. Then Friday afternoon rolls around. Well, I'll see you Monday. I'm taking the weekend. I mean, it's crazy that you do that and get away with it, yet you still keep us hanging.
Yeah, but and you know, I don't freak out about the numbers or the readers or like when I hear from someone that I write about, because I'm so deliberately, intentionally not in that loop.
Right.
You know, I just, I don't, I'm not I don't want to be an actor. I'm not. I don't want to go to your dumb party. I don't want to be in your stupid show.
I got
to
tell you, that is a refreshing, refreshing different take from a person who writes a blog than someone else that will go unnamed.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Hey, this is not, you know, I'm not here to push my politics or post pictures of my dog. I'm just...
Here's what I like, though, is that you had a story, I think it was yesterday, I don't remember, it's, everything blurs together, but it was about Michael Jackson being gay. It was one of the British magazines.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the fact that he was gay. Everyone close to him knew he was gay, blah, blah, blah. He used to go to low-rent motels. But the picture on top of it was Marissa Miller. And there's no mention of it until the very end of the story where, you know, he just says something like, eh, I put Marissa Miller up because she's a lot better looking than Michael Jackson. It has nothing to do with the story that Michael Jackson is gay, which I find quite humorous.
I'm not obligated to post pictures of Michael Jackson.
Right, which is fine.
And we all know what he looks like. Let's face it. You're not you're not withholding anything from us that we can't find on a million other websites.
That was a good choice.
If I say the words Michael Jackson, you're not baffled as to who.
No.
Right.
We have a good sense of it.
Not unclear.
Yeah.
Now... Are there some, here's what I've been dying to know for a long time, and I'm so grateful we finally get the opportunity to talk to you, Brendan, because we have discussed your site on many, many occasions. Are these celebrities that you write a lot about that you seem to hate, Lady Gaga because she's ugly, Jessica Simpson because she's stupid, you know the ones that I'm talking about, is it all just in fun, you're just trying to make giggles, or do you really have any kind of personal feeling whatsoever about any of the people you write about?
No, it's just jokes. You know, a perfect day is just 50 pictures of Halle Berry in a top that's too tight and a couple interesting stories.
That's our perfect day as well.
Yeah, and hopefully, at least one joke, someone finds one. I mean, I don't know these people personally. I don't.
Do they try to reach out to you now that yours is becoming a more popular site? Do they have PR people call or whatever and try to schmooze?
Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah. They, and it's all some variation of I suck and they're going to kick my ass.
Which... Oh, really? It's all threats and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's poorly punctuated.
Yeah, always.
Is there a? Do you have a team of people that that run the website and take care of the advertising and promotion and all that kind of stuff, or is it just you sitting around in a Studio City apartment?
Well, I wish that would be majestic.
Yeah,
I just I do all the writing. There, mm-hmm. there is. I started the website. With a buddy of mine. I was writing The Superficial, and a buddy of mine decided to do just a version of that on our own.
Right.
And he did all the designing and business stuff, and I call people fat.
You just do the fun stuff, right?
Yeah, so I've done all the writing from day one, and he handles all the business side. So it's...
it's a good team. You get to do what you like. He gets to do what he's good at. And it's always comedy.
It's a perfect...
All right. Yeah. One more question for you, Brendan. And again, I'm going to say the name of the website for folks who want to see what we're all so hysterical about. It's WWTDD.com. WWTDD.com. And that stands for What Would Tyler Durden Do? Tyler Durden is Brad Pitt's character in The Fight Club. Have you had any photos that were too hot to post for whatever reason, either for legal reasons or for ethical reasons, where you've just said, that's even below my line?
Well, thankfully, I don't have a line. But someone sent me what was supposed to be the Miley Cyrus things, the topless pictures.
Right. She's underage at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so obviously that can't go up. And there was some pictures I bought of her that her lawyers actually had the site shut down for like 12 hours. Like it was completely...
Had your site shut down?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and this wasn't, I wasn't following her around in the bushes. This was some pictures I bought from a legit agency.
Right.
But they still felt... you could just see a little too much of
right
from the side, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Miley Cyrus, great example. There's no question in anyone's mind that when she's 18 and a day, you're going to start seeing nude pictures of her on the internet, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. They're already there. You just can't reference them really until then.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, she's definitely heading in that direction. Well, Brendan, you are doing a great job, man, and you give us hours of entertainment every day with your website, and I hope you keep doing it for a long time, and please keep in touch. Anything we can do for you, you let us know, all right?
Absolutely, fellas. Thank you so much.
WWTDD.com.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the bizarre new beauty trend coming out of Japan where all interesting, weird, fascinating stuff comes out of?
They do the oddest things.
This is, they call them bagel heads. And what they do is they inject something into your head that causes a giant round swelling. And then you can kind of mold it and they push it in the middle. And it literally looks like there's a bagel underneath your skin on your forehead.
Is this supposed to be attractive? Oh, God.
They look like
monsters.
Extras in a Star Trek show. Yeah. is what they look like.
Yeah, or one of those weird aliens in that bar in Star Wars. I think it's saline.
I think they shoot saline. Skin. Yeah,
so it doesn't last long.
Last one day.
Eventually, it gets absorbed into your body.
Wow.
Do we have a website? By the way, is there any chance that we've posted a picture for people to see who want to look at this?
Like Kevin and Bean?
No.
K-Rock website?
No. Okay. What's wrong with you? I know we've had some struggles with the website in recent days.
No.
I didn't know if something like this had been posted.
Just go to bagelheads.com.
They call this inflating. That's what they call it. The process of inflating. Yeah. Apparently, it's been popular since the 90s, where you, just before you go out for the night, you put a bagel under your skin. It's not a little bagel. It sticks out like a full inch.
It's a great way to pick up Jewish girls, by the way.
Is that what they're doing in Japan?
Uh-huh. Okay. Looking for Jewish girls.
But, guys, what's going on? I mean, I know there's lots of different ways you can modify your body. There are people who are into just crazy stuff. But what's going on mentally with the people who want to do this? Is it, hey, look at me? Is it now I'm special? What's going on with them?
I can't imagine because I don't want attention that much.
It's obviously they want.
Really?
They're desperate for attention.
But it's not good attention. Nobody's going to look at that and go, wow, you're hot.
People who are desperate for attention can't discern between good and bad attention. It's all good. Just as long as you're paying attention. Even if you're mocking them, they feel like that makes them special somehow.
Well, the guy in the photograph, the guy on the left who's got the two mini bagels, one on each side of his forehead.
He's got a mini bagel over each eye.
Yeah. And he looks like under his nose, which I thought was weird.
He looks like he's got a human ass on his face. And how do you walk out of that room where you've gotten the injections and finished the molding and you go, yes, good luck.
This is exactly what I wanted.
I think if they called the fashion trend ass face other than bagel head, it would be less attractive for people.
Well, I think we need more information. And that's why
you have all the information you need right
Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents
need
to fly into
action. Everything you need to know about.
Well, we don't know how prevalent it is. For example, does everyone do it?
Some people do it. There you go. There's your answer.
That's not specific enough.
You're not going to get any more specific.
So let's call Japan.
No,
and see if we can find out some information about that. And
you and I are done professionally.
No,
Mick G, you have something to say about this,
Ralph?
Listen, I will give you $20 right now if you don't do this.
But we have questions that we want to ask somebody in Japan where the bagel heads are happening, Ralph. Have you ever seen someone with a bagel head?
You asked someone in Japan, where are the bagel heads happening? I'll give you $20.
All right, well, they call it inflating, so maybe that's the word we should use.
You're not going to get any. You do this
we
all the
want
time. You
call some more information.
Country, you talk to some person who barely speaks English, and then you get zero information.
You don't know.
And they hang up, or they get disconnected. This never goes well.
We don't need your negativity.
No, you don't, because it's already built into the bit. You don't need my negativity.
It's
already
Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents.
Spanning the globe, Kevin and Bean investigate stories from around the world.
That's right.
They are Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents.
Why Kevin and Bean, trying to bring the light, by the way, trying to shed knowledge, spread knowledge around the world. Ralph, just hatering. That's all that's going on here.
No, I hate
Ralph's
the fact that
haterade.
You fail.
Well,
I hate your failures.
Except when we're not.
Except for last time.
It always fails.
All right, we're calling it Four Seasons.
Last time you got any information out of one of these segments?
There was a time recently where someone knew what we were talking
about. That's correct.
Oh, they actually recognized the story?
Recognized the story.
That is Pulitzer material. You're right.
That is right out of the park,
I had no idea.
Hey, hello? I don't hear any ringing or anything. Calling the Four Seasons Hotel in...
All right, that's one of the inherent problems with this event, because it requires us to dial internationally, and we always fail on that.
I think the segment always starts with,
dial
hello,
01.
Hello, hello, I don't know, hello.
Let's do this again.
I can't tell, hello.
We need more setup.
Spanning the globe, Kevin and Bean investigate stories from around the world. They are Kevin and Bean, foreign correspondents.
I believe it is it. On the website now.
Actually, your forehead correspondence.
Thank you. They did put it up on the website now.
Apparently. Oh, great. So, great news. All right. We only really have time for one call, one person. Because...
Oh, there you go. Okay. Now we've reached Japan. Hello. Do you speak English, ma'am?
Yes. This is Four Seasons Hotel Tokyo at Marunouchi.
Excellent. We are calling from America.
Yes.
And we see an article here where there is a strange form of things that people are doing to their body by inflating, is what they call it. They inject it with saline, and then it looks like there's a bagel under their skin. They're called bagel heads. Have you heard of this?
I am afraid I'm not Sorry.
And scene.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That was Kevin and Bean, barely scratching the surface of another story from around the world.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike is all happy about us talking to his boyfriend from What Would Tyler Durden Do earlier in the hour. Kevin, tomorrow is your day to sport wood because actor Michael C. Hall is going to be on talking about the return of Dexter. How about that?
That is one of the best shows on TV. Love
that
show.
Everybody's getting theirs. Where's my Betty White? Come on, how about something for me? Give the drummer some, you guys.
Dead.
Come on.
She's dead. I saw it on the news.
Really?
They were doing a broadcast from Forest Lawn Cemetery, and they said Betty White was buried there.
Wow, that's a shame. But that's the way it goes, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's
Circle of Life.
57, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What the heck's going on?
You guys watching the America's Got Talent on NBC? Big summertime show. Always number one in the ratings in the summer.
Don't watch it a lot, but I like it.
David Hasselhoff, one of the judges.
That tells
Sharon
you all
Osborne,
you need to know about that.
Piers Morgan. And it really is pretty entertaining because they have the really horrible people of No-Town who think they do,
right,
which is always a plus. Like, we watched the American Idol, early American Idol episodes for that same reason. And then you get some people who really sort of knock your socks off. There was a kid last night, a nine-year-old kid, who brought out his electric guitar and just started shredding like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Really?
Just that sort of Southern soul thing just wailed on this
Nine.
The place blew up. He's moving on to the finals in Vegas.
At the end, did he shout,
"Are you not entertained?"
He did say that.
"Are you not entertained?"
He said that, and they said, "Yes, we are."
Wow, all right.
But the guy who won last year, Terry Fader,
yeah,
he was the ventriloquist.
Yes.
Maybe it wasn't last year. Maybe it was the year before. Anyway, he just got a $100 million contract with the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he has been performing there for the last year, too.
He was at another hotel.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yeah, he was at another hotel.
Because I saw the pictures of
him. The Hilton or the Flamingo or something. I don't know. But then his contract was up there, so the Mirage outbid everyone else and got him to sit down in their theater for I don't know how many years, a certain number of years. But the deal is worth $100 million.
And you're saying $100 million.
I'm saying $100 million.
He's a ventriloquist?
He's a ventriloquist. He's very funny and really great at what he does.
Is he?
He can... I remember seeing him on America's Got Talent. And he can sing, do impressions, do comedy, all with these puppets without moving his mouth. It's insane how good
he is. Are you not entertained?
I was entertained.
Are you not entertained?
So he just got a $100 million contract, and what does he do? What would you do?
Overdose?
No. Get a divorce.
Yeah!
Oh, there you go.
He and his wife of 18 years are splitting up.
Wow.
He announced this week it wasn't the pressures of the career, it was more personal matters. Some things we were just unable to see eye to eye. We both understand the reasons. Well, today apparently we understand the reason a little bit better, too. Apparently he and his wife could not see eye to eye on his new 18-year-old girlfriend, Hawaiian model Taylor Makakoa.
Yes!
Hello! Yay!
Women sometimes don't understand
they
that.
They could not see eye to eye on the fact that he was banging an 18-year-old Hawaiian model.
Yeah.
Well, she should try to be a little bit more understanding about her man.
If she was, she'd still be married.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently, she performs at the Mirage in another show. This
18-year-old,
yes. And that's how they met.
She part of the deal? And he signed with her?
$100 million I'll take her. $90 million and the 18-year-old. Here's the thing. They've been married for 18 years. She's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
how about that?
You know, honey, when you were born, I was getting married.
Yeah.
And now, look at me. Now I can make... I can make you say things without moving your lips.
Yep.
Oh!
I just thought that was a funny story.
Yeah.
Guy goes from rags to riches, and he gets an 18-year-old Hawaiian model.
Funnier for him than her.
Men are just great, aren't they?
They're
ladies?
The best.
Are you with me, ladies?
They're the best.
So I have to ask, there's no way we'll ever know, had he not gone on America's Got Talent, become famous, made the $100 million deal, would he still be performing in Vegas like he was and still married to his wife, looking forward to his 20th wedding anniversary?
Well, he wasn't performing in Vegas before America's Got Talent.
He wasn't.
Part of the grand prize of America's Got Talent is you get a contract with one of the hotel casinos there to play. Yeah, he was just doing like country fairs and stuff, just traveling around. He was doing comedy clubs and stuff. He was struggling.
The F-holes.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Right. Disney has picked up the rights to a best-selling book to star Miley Cyrus in a new motion picture. It's called Wings. Daily Variety says it is the story of a teenager who's homeschooled, then attends high school only to learn she has wings and is a fairy.
What?
That's the same story as Psycho Mike. When he was homeschooled. Then he went to high school and learned.
She didn't know she had wings before she went to school?
No, apparently her parents keep her sheltered so that she won't blossom into full fairyhood. And then when she goes to high school, she gets her wings and she learns that she's a fairy.
Oh, dude, lame.
Miley Cyrus will be playing the fairy.
All right.
In Wings.
Okay.
Start selling my Disney stock now. Today's celebrity birthday is Terry O'Quinn. He was in West Wing, Alias, of course, plays John Locke on Lost. 57 years old today. Lost comes back in the fall, I guess, right?
Or is fall it, 2011.
2011?
Yeah, it's
I think it's next year. I don't think it's really? Like January.
We don't get anything
huh?
this year, huh?
I don't think so.
Because they killed Jacob and everything. Yeah. And I want to know what's going on now.
Yeah. Is there just one season left now?
Yeah, the final season.
Wow.
Oh. Willie Ames from Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge is 49 years old today. Actor-director Forrest Whitaker turns 48. Brigitte Nielsen is 46 years old today. Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210 is 36. Scott Foley from Felicity and from other things. He used to be married to Jennifer Garner.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, 37 years old. And Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I guess, Lisa, what I'm saying is if you forget what's happening in the Harry Potter movies, it's a shame that they don't have some sort of, I don't know, a translation in book form that you can go and refresh your memory as to what's going on in the story.
Don't
Those
be ridiculous.
Those books are really thick.
Those books are like 800 pages.
They are.
And I can read about 30 pages. It's fascinating reading, but who can keep up?
I did read it, but like 5 years ago.
Harry Potter is comes out today.
Yes.
It's Harry Potter and Prince and Michael and
Harry
and
Potter gets a Prince Albert, I think is what this
yes,
one's called.
That's the name
now,
of it.
Now, I should not even be part of this conversation because I've never read a word of the books or seen the movies, but where are we in the numbers here? All the books are done. There's 7 books. I know that. What number movie is this?
I think this is
5?
5 or 6.
5? Maybe. Let's listen to the trailer for the movie and see if it gives us kind of a hint of what this one's about. Maybe this will help catch you up.
Okay.
Out of bounds.
Keep an eye on the staircases. They like to change.
Understand this, Harry, because it's very important.
I'm going to bed.
Are we going to drink that?
Yes.
Drink me.
You will go looking for black.
The Ministry of Magic wishes to make an announcement.
You're the chosen one, Harry.
You have been told that a certain dark wizard is at large once again.
Harry, you will go looking for black.
Must go home.
Home, home,
home,
home, home,
home, home.
You're the chosen one, Harry. It's over.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
That didn't help me.
I'm confused.
Okay, the new one is the 6th because it sets up for the final. So okay. This new one is the 6th. It's no wonder I'm confused. There have been 5 of them.
It's hard to keep track of.
Now, I remember that they played Quidditch. And
yes.
They had a new Defense of the Dark Arts teacher, and I think Harry really...
Is Voldemort still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Harry was having a thing with Cho.
Cho?
That's
Margaret
all I remember.
Cho?
Yes, Margaret Cho.
All right, here's what we need. I know that there are hardcore fans out there who have every detail in order the way they happen.
Yeah.
Bean hasn't read it or watched the movies. I've watched all the movies, but I'm not the guy to recap because I can't keep it all straight myself.
Right.
So maybe you can help us at 1-800-520-1067 and kind of catch us up because the movie does open today.
That's okay. Right.
That
I'm sure there are some major themes that are continuing in the plot, right? I mean, I'm sure the last movie ended with some sort of peril happening and we're going to find out what happens next. I mean, that's kind of the big picture is what we're looking for. We don't need the lots of tiny little details about the story.
All right. I really don't remember how the last one ended.
You don't remember how the last one ended?
I don't.
Well, that might be important too.
Yeah.
I don't either. But see, I'm okay going like I'm
just
fine.
Just go in blind.
Just go in blind. Start catching up. Remember what I remember and move on. That's all.
Right.
All right. Let's start with Candy, who's going to help get us updated. Hi, Candy.
Hi. Actually, it's Andy with a boy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Lisa May. I just wanted to catch Lisa May up and telling her that Harry Potter had a love connection with Cho.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
Okay,
that.
So Harry Potter and Cho are now lovers.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. They had a good makeout sesh in the last one, and I just wanted to make sure Lisa May remember that.
Okay, okay.
That's the point that you wanted her to remember before
that's
going to
That's all I need to know?
That's it?
That's the main point.
That's the main point.
I'll play the part of the audience that doesn't follow it. Who is Cho? Who's that dude?
Asian girl.
Okay.
She's very cute.
Oh, I see. Is she also a wizard or a witch or something?
Yeah, she's a witch.
But wait a minute. Didn't that Hermione chick, didn't she really kind of secretly always love Harry?
No, Hermione is in love with Ron.
Ron, okay, yeah. Okay.
And she gets really mad at him in the last one for...
I feel like we're not getting the real part of the story that matters.
Well, I like the romance. So was she mad at him because of Cho?
She wasn't mad at Harry Potter. She was mad at Ron because he never did anything with her, and he always complained about, he's like, you're always the best. But
all right, we gotta move on to somebody that has something besides the romantic details.
Okay,
but
well, now
thank
I have
you.
That. So
thank you,
helpful.
Andy, for calling.
Let the romance begin.
We need to take a quick break. We're looking for your calls to update Lisa May on Harry. And not just Lisa May, by the way. There are a lot of people like Kevin who love these movies, go to all these movies, but it's been two freaking years. Yeah. What do you need to know to best enjoy the story when you go to the theater tonight? That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin. By the way, here's an email. First early review from Harry Potter. Marty from San Pedro writes in, hey guys, last night my girlfriend dragged me to a freaking midnight screening of the new Harry Potter movie. I didn't see an Asian girl in this one, but I did notice that Hermione is all grown up, and now she's got a good rack. I fell asleep. Most of the details about the movie are foggy, but that much was clear. So there you go. That's all you need to know, Lisa, is just check out Hermione when you go tonight.
So this is the 13th movie, and we're a little confused about how the last one ended because it was about 7 years ago.
Right.
So we're trying to get caught up on the phones. Maybe people can fill us in on exactly what's going on. Let's go to Frank, who might be able to help us. Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank. That's not as much help as I had hoped. But.
Okay.
Let's try Gavin. He's on line 8. I think he's got a big picture idea for us that may be important to know walking in. Hey, Gavin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is there a problem
clearly,
with our phone?
Clearly, at this point, it's us. It's not them.
Just wanted to catch you up at the end of the last movie.
Thank you.
Harry heard the prophecy that he's been waiting for.
He heard the prophecy?
He's the one?
That he's the chosen one.
But didn't he know that in movie 2 or 3?
It wasn't confirmed. It's always been an underlying theme, but he finally heard the prophecy that was being stored at the ministry. There was a big battle at the ministry, and things broke, and people died.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay, so the fact that he's the one, that means he's supposed to take down Voldemort? Is he still around?
There's still a little bit of question. Yes, Voldemort's still around. The prophecy sort of said that one cannot live while the other lives.
Ah, so someone must die.
Okay, exactly. here's what I don't get, though. So if Harry Potter now again, I've never seen any of the movies, so I'm trying to piece this together just from what I'm hearing here. If Harry Potter knows he's the one, he has to steal the ring and then throw it into the big lake of fire?
No, I think you're confusing your movies a little bit.
Yeah, that's not the same one. That's Lord of the Rings.
I can see your confusion.
That's not quite.
All right. Thank you for reminding us of
that. That is a big chunk, and that's very helpful.
So now he knows his prophecy is that he's got to take on Lord Voldemort.
And they had that big Ministry of Magic battle. I remember that now. Okay.
All right. Let's try Samantha real quick. She says everything is changing. She's on line 4. Let's find out what Samantha means about that. Hey, Samantha, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Hi there. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Help us out.
Okay. So basically, in the last one, Voldemort does return to power.
Okay.
And basically everything changes. And not only in the wizarding world can they realize that, but also in the muggle world they realize that something's wrong.
So in the normal human world that aren't wizards, they know something's wrong.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
and that's
true.
It? That's all we need to know to go?
No, definitely not. Obviously, the characters are growing maturely. They're also growing, and you see a lot of the relationships, which you were talking about earlier. Cho Chang wasn't important at all. She was just the fifth one.
She wasn't important at all, but that's what the first girl called us about, to say that he was in love with her.
She is so not important. I actually saw the midnight showing last night. Not to talk about it, but I was there with, like, thousand other people at a theater last night in Anaheim.
Sure.
And it was amazing. Basically, Cho Chang is actually in the movie.
Yes.
Movie, but her name was all the way at the bottom, and we never saw her.
Okay, good.
Oh, my God. Oh, all right.
Okay. So she's in there, and I'm like, wow.
Unimportant. Okay.
No.
All right.
So, basically, it's
it's a really great story. It's a coming of age story, basically. And
because Hermione has a rack now.
She's beautiful.
Right.
She's
yeah.
So
she's
beautiful.
She's shaped up pretty good. What is she? She's about 20 now or something, right?
She's got to be like 18.
Giant yeah. size can.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, producer Alex just sent me a note from Variety that says that Harry Potter pulled in $20 million at midnight screenings this morning.
Wow.
Nice.
Before it's effectively opened for the rest of us, it's already got $20 million in the bank domestic just from people who couldn't wait, had to see it the minute they could at 12:01 this morning.
All right. Let's go to Sarah, who can help us out. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Sarah.
All right. Catch us up. What do we need to know before we see the movie?
Okay, going really quickly back to the end of movie 4, Harry mm-hmm. Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Right.
Harry takes a portkey with Cedric Diggory. They think they won the Triwizard Tournament. They end up in a graveyard with Lord Voldemort and the Death Eaters. And Harry witnesses Lord Voldemort come back to power.
That's right. Back. He yeah. comes back like the smoke monster into that yes. dude, and then they got the Death
and
Eaters
Cedric
all over them.
Cedric dies.
Cedric the Entertainer dies, yes.
What? And Bernie Mac, too. Don't forget Bernie Mac. He died.
Vampire now. Anyway, they come back, and Harry is desperately trying to get people to believe him that Voldemort is back. He's not kidding. He's not exaggerating. You know, he doesn't want to be dramatic. He is trying to warn everyone.
But nobody
no
believes it
because
they didn't see it.
Yeah, and the ministry defames the name of Harry Potter. And so they write all these terrible articles about him, and they planted like a defense against the dark arts
oh,
teacher.
Yeah.
Umbridge, remember, she makes him write lines with a special pen that carves into his hand, "I will not tell lies," because they think he's lying about Voldemort.
Yes, I remember
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right.
They realize
no, don't tell
back.
Us at the end. We don't want to know
no,
the end.
Talking about the fifth
no,
movie.
The last one. Right.
Oh,
this is six? Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah is awfully excited about this.
But she's good.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I just finished the sixth book over the weekend. I started the seventh book last night. I'm going to see the movie tonight. I couldn't see midnight because, you know, I have to work.
Yeah. What's it like
I
to,
understand.
What's it like to read?
Oh my gosh, it's awesome.
That'd be cool. But why bother if they're making movies? Those are the last books you should be reading, the ones that you can go see in the theater.
Holds true to
that's true. You got nothing to bitch about if you haven't read the book. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. All I want to know is since they moved the island, are they ever going to get out of 1977?
Yeah.
Because
it
just seems like
that's a TV show. That's lost.
I don't get it. I'm
that's
lost.
Not the same.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning. One of the only 2 days in the whole calendar year, Kevin, without a single professional sporting event. There are only two. Every year. One is the day before the baseball All-Star game, and the other one is the day after the baseball All-Star game.
In baseball, you mean? There's no other sport?
No, in all sports,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, think about it. I mean, there's no hockey, there's no football,
right,
there's no basketball.
There's so. Soccer, and there. I guess there's soccer, and then there's soccer. That's a good point.
Well, I enjoyed very much the All-Star game last night. It's now been 13 years in a row that the National League has lost or tied. And not a lot of Dodger participation last night. Not a lot of Angel participation last night. They were not the big playmakers. But I'll tell you who was noticeably absent was our friend Manny Ramirez. Number 99, your left fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, did not make the All-Star ballot this time. He made the ballot, didn't make the team this time around. Let's find out why and what he's been up to, because he's getting ready to play, I guess, tomorrow in Los Angeles for the first time since he returned to the team. Hey, Manny.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm back.
Manny, how you been?
Hey, I'm great, man.
So 50-game suspension because of the failed drug test, and I guess that is what contributed to you not getting quite enough votes to make the All-Star team this year like you usually do.
Whatever.
You didn't care?
Oh, no. I got to stay home and play some Atari.
Atari?
And I play with my Legos.
Legos?
Yeah.
You don't have like Xbox 360 or something?
What?
Xbox 360.
No. What? I play Pong.
Pong? These are video games from the early 1980s or something.
It's fun.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not comparatively.
Yeah.
Manny's a little low-tech, I guess, is what we're learning.
Wow.
Well, listen, what did you do with all that time off? I mean, you're ready to play, and all of a sudden they say, boom, suspended, 50 games. What did you do with that time?
You know, stuff.
You didn't just play video games. I mean, there must be.
Yeah, I bought a llama.
You bought a llama?
Yeah. It's fun.
Okay.
Her name's Cindy.
Uh-huh. Don't llamas spit at you?
Yeah. And then I went to Thailand.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you did there.
You
get a lot for a dollar, though, right, Manny?
American dollar goes a long way in Thailand.
I made a brisket.
You made a brisket?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you stayed very busy.
Oh, you know, I do everything. It's just people, they come to me, they say, hey. And I say, I'm just being Manny. Manny.
That's what you say.
You do say that a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
They were mad at me. They don't let me play baseball because they catch me with the drug in my system.
Right.
From, you know, Manny's special tonic. But it's okay because I find new tonic. And I still get boner.
I was just going to ask, because that's, are you still holding to the fact that that's, that the problem was?
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's true.
It's true?
It's true.
Okay.
And
because a lot of people said after that whole story shook out that it's a way of replenishing your body's natural, you know, balance after you do steroids.
No,
I'm saying a lot of people were saying that.
Manny's wife say, hey, Manny, why? You, downstairs is so the bung da bung da bung da bung da, and it should be like knock knock knock. And I said,
I don't understand.
I'm sorry. Maybe I get a doctor to fix it.
I see.
So he fixed it.
To fix it. You said fix.
And then I get him to fix it.
Fix. You, with an X is what you're saying,
and
right,
I
Manny?
Get him to fix it.
I was afraid of.
Yeah.
It just seems like Manny's whole life is just a carnival. I mean, it's just like he's a 13-year-old boy with unlimited time and money, and he just does whatever he wants.
Hey,
and everybody just says,
what?
See what I mean? See what I mean?
Out in the sky.
Hey, an airplane. Now, Manny, are you excited to be back? Are you happy? You're not happy that you're playing baseball again?
It's boring.
Baseball's boring.
It's pretty boring.
I thought you loved baseball. I thought you were excited to come to the Dodgers, and this is where you wanted to be, and you're having fun, and you love the fans, and you're going to help them win. You can't wait.
We should put a bear in center field.
A bear?
Why?
Yeah. Roar.
Why would they do that?
It'd be fun. Imagine if you are trying to catch a pop fly and a big bear comes, and you're like, oh, no, I better watch the bear, but I got to catch the ball, too. It's much more fun, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
All the players should. The pitcher should take off a piece of clothing every inning, like strip poker.
Okay.
A lot of ideas for the game.
That'd be great, right?
Yeah.
Every inning get more interesting.
I'm the one that's bored with baseball. I thought you would love baseball.
We should have to take a shot every base we get.
A shot of alcohol?
Yeah.
So every time, while you're playing? Okay.
You guys like Cheetos?
All right, man.
Very
listen.
Much.
Cheetos are good, man.
They are.
We're out of time. Mm-hmm. It sounds like less pot is what you need, not less steroids. Okay. I want to know what happens to Kevin's key card in the morning.
I do,
That's
too.
What I want to know.
Did you lose it again today?
Yeah, it's been gone all week. I don't know. We have a key card.
This is your third one in 2 months.
Yes. We have to get in the gate, then we have to get in another gate, then we have to get in two more doors, and they all require a key card. I was late this morning. I was sitting outside going, someone come get me.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Do you carry a wallet?
No.
Is there anything that you...
Stuff bugs me.
Do...
Can you attach it to your car
keys?
Can you attach it to your car keys?
No, it's too much of a hassle. What I do is I keep it in the same
place. Is it more of a hassle than knocking on the door, asking someone to let you in every morning?
I keep it in the same place in my car.
Honestly, you don't.
Okay, that's where I keep it. That's where I always can count on the fact that it's there.
Until it's not.
If it's not there, I have no idea. Because I don't really have a backup plan.
Well, then you must attach it somehow, some way, to something you always have with you.
My butt?
What would that be? Your butt.
Attach it to my butt?
To your butt. Car keys makes the most sense because that's how you get here. You have to have your keys with you in order to drive to the radio station.
I keep mine tucked in my wallet like a credit card.
Yeah.
Because I know I always put my wallet in my jeans before I leave for work, so I know it'll always be there when I need to get it in.
I'll figure something out. I have no idea where it is. They're starting to charge me now for extras, by the way.
They should, because you're just you're a slacker, in the words of Marty McFly's teacher.
Do you have the same key card that you were issued all those years ago, as I do?
Yes. This is my
the exact same card from day one, right?
One. Thank you, Lisa.
I've lost one.
This is only my
We should
fifth
implant
or sixth.
It under your skin is what we should do.
That would be cool.
Like the Japanese under my forehead?
Make it look you like just wave your arm over the keypad there, and it would open up the door for you.
That's a great idea, is implant a chip. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That is a great... Oh, wait, no. It's a terrible
All right.
Idea.
We got to figure something out because it's just those of us who are here at 5:30 when the show starts, it's a mystery every day whether Kevin's going to make it or not. And today, you know,
I almost always make it if I have my key card.
Right.
When I don't, it's trouble. And I'm in trouble.
Sure is.
Ralph, what do you got for the showbiz beat this time around?
Well, heard you guys trying to fill Lisa in on the Harry Potter saga.
Yeah.
And it looks like a lot of people like Harry Potter.
You think?
Yeah. Turns out the movie was released this morning at 12:01 a.m.
Because the movie opens today, but that doesn't mean tonight at midnight. That means last night at midnight.
12:01 a.m. this morning.
Yep.
Right. So just after midnight last night. The first screenings of Harry Potter were shown to hardcore fans. Harry Potter pulled in last night $20 million.
Wow. Which is more than most movies make in their opening weekend.
Yes.
Yep, sure is.
It is the highest grossing midnight release of a film of all time.
What's up?
Figure beats the previous high earner, which was The Dark Knight, which made $18 million in its midnight.
That's unbelievable.
Showing.
That is an astonishing amount of money for a midnight showing.
Star Wars Episode III Revenge of the Sith earned $17 million. Order of the Phoenix, the previous Harry Potter movie, grossed just $12 million on its midnight runs, but it made about $140 million in its five-day debut.
Wow.
So this movie, they're thinking, could make upwards of $200 million in its first 5 days of release.
Wow. I hear it's very moving when Voldemort says,
"Fate rarely calls upon us at a moment of our choosing."
Wow.
I hear
that's touching.
Very emotional.
Dialogue. Congratulations to the Sundance Kid, Robert Redford, and his German girlfriend exchanged vows and got married in Hamburg, Germany on July.
Let her be 22.
No, she is 51. See, Bobby Redford doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who goes in for the young little Twinkies.
No, Sonia Braga was his girlfriend for a long time, and they were pretty close in age.
He was married to his wife Lola for many years as well. And he seems to like the artistic, sort of more mature women.
I'm Robert Redford.
Doesn't go for the bims.
No.
She is 51 years old. She is a German artist named Sybil Zagers.
How is it helpful to have Robert Redford saying, "Hello, I'm Robert Redford."
Hello, I'm Robert Redford.
How does that add?
How often does he ever get to use the "Hello, I'm Robert Redford"?
How does it add when he does use it?
Look.
He doesn't say anything except for who he is.
If you save a piece of audio for 27 years and you get any opportunity, any tangential window to play it, you have to take it.
But I'm saying even when it makes sense, it's not helpful.
I understand.
All right.
Hello, I'm Robert Redford.
They were married in Hamburg, Germany, as I mentioned. To celebrate, Sybil immediately declared war on Poland.
Is that right?
Which I find odd. But that's how those Germans roll. For you history fans. World War II. And speaking of marriage, John and Kate plus 8 minus 1 star John Gosselin.
Hey!
Just weeks after his estranged wife Kate filed for divorce, has, according to Life and Style magazine, proposed to his 22-year-old girlfriend Haley Glassman.
Excellent!
John has been telling everyone he loves her. She loves him. So why waste time? She is 22 years old and is the daughter of the plastic surgeon who performed the tummy tuck on Kate after she had her 6 children.
How about that? So while she was out, they were meeting.
He was in. While Kate was out, John was in.
No, sir. No, sir.
Nope.
No, sir.
No.
Yeah. That's that's going to be a hard Thanksgiving dinner.
You think?
Kids, what a dumb douchebag.
Kids, did you know your stepmom is your step-grandpa did mommy's tummy tuck?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of explaining.
They probably won't be eating together, though, on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, probably. Tough for that network, whatever channel's got that show, because remember, they debuted this season with enormous ratings. Like 10 million people tuned in to see the first couple of episodes of that show because of they've been in the tabloids so much with the affairs and everything.
Yeah.
And then they announced they were divorcing, and they immediately stopped production. They're not making anymore now, so they're getting nothing out of it.
That show's unwatchable.
But the rumor is Kate is now grooming her 2 twin girls to go the Olsen twin route and develop them into singers and actresses and have their own clothing line for kids and children's books and everything.
Great.
So she's trying to make a few bucks off the kids. Maybe there's a new reality series in it. John plus 22. It's just John and his 22-year-old wife.
I like it.
And he tries to keep up.
Much better.
And hold on to his hair plugs at the same time.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 32 years old today. Brian Austin Green, Beverly Hills 90210 fame, is 36. Drummer John Dolmayan of System of a Down and Scars on Broadway is 37 years old. Jason Bonham.
That's what I'm talking about.
A drummer in his own right. Of course, the son of legendary drummer John Bonzo Bonham from Led Zeppelin. Celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Wow, Jason Bonham's 43? That means his father, if he hadn't, you know, choked on his own vomit, would have been, what, 100?
Well, in his 60s, like the other guys in Led Zeppelin, yeah.
100. Wow.
That was a touching tribute you just gave to him.
I did the whole vomit joke.
Jason, nice. Jason Bonham looks horrible for that age.
Yeah, he looks rough. Well, his dad did not age gracefully either. How old was John Bonham when he died, Bean? You would know this.
I don't. I mean, certainly too young.
His son doesn't remember him, right?
I wouldn't think so, no.
Yeah. Brigitte Nielsen is 46 years old today. Actor, director Forrest Whitaker turns 48. Willie Ames from Eight is Enough. And Charles and
Bible Man!
Who, interestingly enough, has been voted, according to Life and Style magazine, the celebrity most likely to choke on his vomit next.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that category.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
And Terry O'Quinn from Lost and West Wing and Alias and just a long, long, fruitful career for a very talented actor, 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Bean, I owe you an apology. I have for a long time insisted that you have Asperger's syndrome.
He does, right? Doesn't he?
Which sounds, no. It sounds, no, like, don't. Sounds like you're saying burgers like hamburger, but it's ASP, and it's a form of autism.
Burgers, yes.
And I have claimed quite vociferously, if that's a word,
yes,
that Bean has it. It seemed to me like he had it. But I saw a documentary movie about Asperger's syndrome.
Okay.
No kidding.
And I realized that I was wrong.
Really?
So I brought in some clips, and I thought...
Well, it's about time, because I've always thought you kind of cobbled your diagnosis together on some pretty flimsy evidence, the truth be told. So I'm happy to hear you've finally seen it from my perspective.
All right, so here's some of the audio from the documentary on Asperger's syndrome, and let's compare it to Bean, what we know about Bean, and then we'll see. Okay.
An individual with Asperger's will often have difficulties with social functioning.
Okay, so difficulties with social functioning. That's Bean's... He's pretty social.
Well,
I think that's wrong.
With the people he likes, which is like the radio people that aren't us.
I'm going to give you that one. I'm not so much very good with the people.
And then he doesn't like anyone else.
Okay. All right. Here's the next one.
Sensory issues are also very common. A child may be oversensitive to light, sound, even smells.
Okay. So Bean, he's not sensitive.
What about temperature?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
It could be any temperature. He doesn't care. Bean doesn't care.
If actually, it's 61, it's the face of the sun hot.
And the rest
he's
of us
a
are,
freak.
And the rest of us are going, how does the heat not bother you, Bean? And he just goes, I don't know. It doesn't. It's just really bizarre that way.
I will tell you that there are also times where there'll be a light that I just can't stop staring at,
yeah.
And it kills me. It just kills me that the light is on in a room sometimes. That
and does noise.
All right, so I think we're 0-2.
A little sensitive to noise, I think.
Well, instead, you're apologizing, Kevin, for all the things you've said. All
right, because this is clearly not the case. So here's the next
Obsessive interests are typical, and this focus on one subject to the exclusion of others often contributes to their social isolation.
Okay, so that is clearly not true.
Yeah, he doesn't get obsessed about things.
He doesn't get obsessed with one topic.
To love Pluto. That doesn't mean that that's not an awesome topic and that everybody shouldn't love Pluto. Come on.
And 7-Eleven.
If a guy was like that, he would be obsessed with Christmas music all year long.
Right.
Or one particular maritime tragedy.
Right.
You know?
The post office.
He's going to be like that.
Too much time on one topic that isolates him from the rest of society.
He doesn't have any of those.
Or one particular actress or weather girl.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
He's got wide-reaching interests that are evenly spaced.
Your child probably will prefer to play by himself instead of with others.
All right. Well, from what we know about Bean, he's a social butterfly.
Right. If a person had Asperger's, they would move to an island or something to try to isolate themselves from other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Put up an electric fence and a moat, you mean, like I did?
I apologize for that one. Here's the next one.
He likely will have difficulty making friends. He won't understand social cues.
All right, so difficulty making friends.
Come on, you guys.
Who makes more friends? Who makes better, newer friends than Bean?
And no one is better at picking up subtle social cues than Bean is. Because he'll just look at somebody and say, you know what? I think that person's having a hard time. I can feel their pain. I'm going to try to empathize with them and try to make them feel better and be more respectful of their feelings.
So you can see how wrong we've been.
Yeah.
Kevin, in the interest of full disclosure, did you write this documentary?
I did not.
Hire somebody to read it? Because
it
does sound like all the stuff you've been saying for years.
Most children with Asperger's have special interests that they talk about all the time.
Hmm. Most Asperger's kids talk about something all the time.
So weird. Well, that's certainly not Bean. Why would he talk about, oh, I don't know, Denny's or the post office or 7-Eleven or Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or Pluto?
For hours on end.
Christmas music.
It's clearly not
true.
You
guys just make stuff up.
Finland, Norway, Sweden.
All right, now let's get to the next thing that is clearly not true, Bean.
We're out of insistence on sticking to routine helps someone with Asperger's feel grounded. They're often fixated on routines. Even small deviations from routine, such as sitting at a different place around the dinner table, can cause a meltdown.
Okay, so that we know that's not true of Bean. He's easily moved. I mean, there's no problem with that kind of stuff.
I didn't care about routine.
Not at all.
I tend to have a system that I
routine is very unimportant.
Bean was a slave to routine. He would get really freaked out, for instance, when maybe you didn't say what day it was, what day or month it was at the beginning of the show.
Right.
You know, he would freak out and insist that you do it and stop everything and go back and make you do it if he had that. But he doesn't. It rolls off.
He just lets it go.
He's not concerned with that routine.
So what I'm saying is that we've been wrong all along.
Wow. I didn't realize how wrong we were.
Yeah. So, Bean, we apologize. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, which of course means the fifth of retard.
I think that's an accurate translation, actually. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday afternoon. What's going on?
Well, Harry Potter looks to be one of the biggest money-making movies of all time. It was released this morning at 12:01 a.m., which of course means late Tuesday night, and it grossed, according to Daily Variety, $20 million in its opening screenings.
Those are just the midnight screenings.
Just the midnight screenings. $20 million.
Hey, you could go outside right now and the streets are empty because everyone's at Harry Potter. There's no one even listening to us right now.
Yeah, that's true. If you're on the road and you're stuck in traffic, it's not there. Everybody's at Harry Potter.
That's right.
Just step on the gas.
It beats the previous number one midnight earner, which was Warner Brothers' The Dark Knight, the Batman movie, made $18 million in its midnight showings, but Harry Potter's already bested that by $2 million. They're saying it is on track for at least $150 million in its five-day debut. So throughout the weekend, it'll make at least $150, if not more, possibly upwards to close to $200 million.
That's unbelievable.
In a five-day span.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Crazy.
Nuts.
It is nuts.
And the difference between this and like a Transformers is that apparently these movies are good.
They are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they're based on a great book series.
A lot of explosions and Megan Fox in the Transformers. So.
More movie news. Speaking of Megan Fox, she doesn't like to watch herself on the big screen.
I do. That's where we differ.
Megan says she gets enormous anxiety watching herself on film. In fact, she told the London Sun newspaper that she had to drink almost an entire bottle of champagne to get through Transformers 2. Well, that might just be because it's bad. But no, she was drinking heavily before Transformers 2, the premiere screening, so that she could be a little bit more relaxed when she watches. She gets very tense and nervous when she watches herself. I get tense, too, in my pants.
Giggity!
Actor Stephen Chow.
Hey!
Was supposed to play the role of sidekick Kato to legendary superhero Green Hornet in the new Green Hornet action-adventure film done by Sony Pictures. Supposed to be out next summer. Seth Rogen stars as the Green Hornet. However, Stephen Chow has backed out. Bruce Lee played the role on the TV series. Now they're looking for another martial artist actor to take over for Green Hornet's sidekick. No word yet on who they might be considering. Not a big long list of sort of name martial artist actors.
That's true. I think Daniel Day-Kim probably too old to play that, right?
Yeah.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah. The thing about Stephen Chow was he was both a martial artist and an actor, which you kind of have to be if you're Kato. Like, for instance, as I mentioned, Bruce Lee played him on television. So you've set the bar pretty high in terms of being able to be a martial artist and an actor.
Steven Seagal is neither of those. He's not an actor.
That's true. Neither of those.
Or a martial artist.
Spencer Pratt.
Spencer Pratt would be perfect because he is a black belt
in jiu-jitsu.
In jiu-jitsu.
That's right.
And he also invented KFC, I think he told me. And he's done a bunch of other stuff.
He's a deep sea fisherman, I'm told.
Deep sea fisherman. Ice road trucker. Speaking of the Discovery Channel, that's where Ice Road Trucker is, isn't it?
I don't
know. Yes, I think so.
TLC.
For the sake of the bit, let's just pretend.
Okay.
Pitchmen, the popular series that featured the late Billy Mays and his business partner Anthony Sully Sullivan, will be back for a second season. They've announced today, as a tribute to Lay's legacy and a tribute to really good ratings, apparently, Discovery has said they're going to bring in Billy's son, Billy Mays III, and Anthony Sullivan, and they will be the hosts of premiere, season two of Pitchman, which they haven't announced when it's going to be airing, but sometime in the fall, I guess.
All right.
In case you missed the tribute to Billy Mays, you can catch it on Friday, July the 24th. It's going to re-air, and it's a story about his life and times and OxyClean. So,
super good show, and I guess I didn't realize that he and Anthony Sullivan were truly best friends.
Yes,
and he, you know, not just business partners, and not just for this
but
show.
Lovers.
I mean, for years, they've been very close. And man, he took it hard losing Billy at age 50. I'll tell you, really felt bad.
He
for
took
him.
It hard when he was alive. As well,
God, it wasn't like that at all.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Too soon?
Strokes lead singer Julian Casablancas is working on his debut solo album. Stepping outside the Strokes for some solo music.
Okay.
It's going to be called Phrases for the Young. It'll be out in the fall. And then Julian says he plans to go on a full solo tour.
Okay.
This is the fourth member of the Strokes to release music outside of the band. Guitarist Nick Valenci is the odd man out. He's the only one who hasn't done his own album, although he is working on a photography project. So, artsy bunch of guys, those Strokes.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ray Toro of My Chemical Romance is 32. Drummer John Dolmayan? How do you say John's last name?
Dolmayan,
yeah, I always screw it up. System of a Down and Scars on Broadway, he is 37 years old. Scott Foley from Felicity turns 37. Legendary drummer, legendary son. Son of a legendary drummer.
Okay.
All those things.
Are you drunk right now?
Yes, I am. Jason Bonham is 43 years old today. Brigitte Nielsen is 46. Forrest Whitaker turns 48. Willie Ames from Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge is 49. And Terry O'Quinn from Lost, West Wing, Alias, 57 years old today. By the way, our own Jed the Fish also celebrates his birthday today.
Fantastic.
So happy birthday, Jed.
How about that?
I'm Ralph
Garman. What are your plans, Jed, for the big party tonight?
Did you know that you weigh more than 432 times your body weight if you were to walk on the surface of Mercury?
Okay. All righty.
Care Q.